the right way. It's the wrong way. Oh, right. Is that recording? Good. Well, good to see you all. Though we are but few in number, it's nice to see you all. Numbers don't matter. Okay. What I'm going to do, if I stop organising myself, is just share with you some thoughts. This is quite a personal sermon for me, I think. What I want to do is just share with you some thoughts around two Bible verses which have been going around in my head quite a lot over, I was going to say 6 months, but to be quite honest, it's probably a year now in terms of Bible verses. And the two particular verses, the first one is up there from Romans 12:2, and it's a verse that I believe God gave us at least a year ago, and Pete brought, which was, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And I don't know about you, but one of the things that has changed in my life, probably literally over the last 12 months, has been I find myself meditating a lot more on Bible verses than, to be quite honest, I've done in all my life. And these verses just have been going around in my head quite a lot. And I just believe that God gave us these, not just for me, but for us as a church. And just, you know, he gives us passages and things for our instruction and guidance as a church. And I believe very much that these two are in that role. And I just want to share to you, because I don't know about you, but you can see verses and you can even meditate on for quite a while. And then suddenly you look at them again and God gives you something completely new. And I find that is just brilliant in scripture, is when you know these, and I can recite that. But actually, just looking at this the other day, I just felt God brought something fresh. And I'd focused on, what I'm going to do is, who's got Bibles with them? Because we're going to do something, we don't do that often, and we're actually going to turn to scripture in our Bible. So if you haven't got one, who's not got one? Share for a minute, just see, because you might need. Pass that back. Have you got one there between you? I'll do that. There you go. Right, look at Romans 12:2. New Testament, I think everyone here, I don't need me to tell you where Romans is. I think everyone here knows where Romans is in the Bible. Romans 12:2. And keep Romans open then, because we're going to refer to it quite a lot. So Romans chapter 12. You got it? Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we've looked at that a lot as a church over the last 12 months, and we've looked at Romans' New Testament. It's just, and we've looked at it and just looked at what it means to have Scripture come in and change our minds. But you know what came to me fresh was, what is the first word at the start of chapter 12? Sorry, Gav? Therefore. Therefore. And God just took me to that the other day. Therefore. And you know, that implies that this instruction to not conform any longer, but to be transformed, is as a result of something that's been said already in Romans. That makes sense? The therefore is following on from what Paul has already talked about in the rest of the letter. So let's look at what it is that Paul has been talking about that leads to this, therefore don't be conformed. Right? So we're going to go back to the beginning of Romans. So go back to Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And this, if you like, is going to be a quick flyby Romans today. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Okay? And Paul says this, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile." And then in verse 17 he says, "For in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith." So he introduces right at the start of this letter to the church in Rome the fact that the gospel reveals the righteousness of God. And you know, the Jews would have known that, of course. If you look at the Old Testament, the Jewish history, it is full of testaments about the righteousness of God. It's full of stories about the righteousness of God, even through to God's righteous wrath. So the Jews knew all about God's righteousness, but these was being written to the church in Rome, who didn't necessarily have all that history. And Paul here is introducing the fact, right at the start of the letter, that we have a righteous God. And you know the pictures of God, that picture in Revelation of God sitting on the throne, and we should never lose sight of the fact that we have a God who is holy, abhors sin, and is somebody who is completely and utterly righteous. And that's the first part. So then turn to Romans 3 and verses 21 to 24. And in my Bible, this is headed righteousness through faith. And Paul then goes on to say, but now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known. And he says, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. So he's moving on then to say, we have a righteous God, but for those who have faith in Christ Jesus, they receive righteousness too. Does that make sense? The righteousness from God comes through faith to all who believe. So the next piece of news is that there is a righteousness that comes from God to us. The doctrinal term for that, for those of you into doctrine, is called imputed. Righteousness is imputed to us by God. What on earth does imputed mean? It means credited to us or attributed to us. So the attributes of God as a righteous person are actually given to you and me. So we are seen as righteous by God because of what? Through faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the second piece of the puzzle unfolding, okay? And actually, if you just look back, what I should have said is in chapters 2 and 3, what you get is the fact that God says, that Paul says, God is righteous, but mankind is not righteous. I should have covered that, my apologies. If you look at chapters, the end of chapter 1 and the start of chapter 2, he said, we have a righteous God, but mankind is unrighteous. Right? And then he goes on to say, but although mankind is unrighteous, we are righteous in the sight of God because of faith in Jesus Christ. So that's the next bit, right? So what I'm going to do as we go through this now, you'll see this up here. What I'm going to do is, the idea here is that we are supposed to be transformed as these truths start to go into our minds. So I've done this as a little picture for you. So the first truth is God is righteous, okay? So that's something we're supposed to take on board and allow to affect us, okay? The second is, I've said, that God's righteousness is credited to us. Okay? Now, if you then look next at Romans 5:12. In Romans 5, you all right? The sun, yeah, there you go. That's nice to know, isn't it, for a change? Romans 5:12 says, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death came to all men because all have sinned, right? And then it goes on to say, we've got the right, where is it? Hang on. Since we've been justified by faith, who can see that? Is it Romans 6:12? Where is it? Who can see it? Since we've been justified through faith. Go on, there's a test for you. Oh. I've got Romans 5:12, that's not right, is it?
Beginning of Romans 5.
Roger, thank you. Yes, it's not 5:12, it's 5:1. Thank you. My apologies to everyone who's listening to this later as well. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, which is what he's talked about, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So he talks about the fruits of righteousness, and that is a peace that comes from God. And then he goes on to say, through him we have gained access by faith into God's grace in which we now stand. So God is righteous. I am righteous in the sight of God because I believe in Jesus. And because of that, I'm now at peace with God. And I'm now under God's grace, not under his judgment. Okay? This is Paul's arguments he's laying out. And then in Romans 6, look at Romans 6, verse 11, and this is the right verse. Romans 6, 11, and this chapter is entitled Dead to Sin, Alive in Christ. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Okay? So what Paul is going on to say there is we have no obligation to sin any longer. In fact, we are to live by the Spirit. Okay? The Holy Spirit now reigns in our lives. If you look at Romans 6, start there for a second. So we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. So that's the next thought. I'm dead to sin and alive in Christ. Okay? So I'm justified by faith. I'm righteous in God's eyes. I have peace with God. And I live under grace. And I'm now dead to sin and alive in Christ. Now, that's dead to sin and alive in Christ is an interesting concept, just as a side very quickly. Because we know that that doesn't mean as Christians we don't sin. But it does mean that sin has no hold over us, right? And the Bible talks about counting ourselves dead to sin. What does that mean? Well, I'll give you a quick illustration just before we move on. Next week, we're traveling on holiday and we're going to a different time zone. We're going to a place that's 5 hours behind here. And when I get on the plane next Saturday, I'm going to do what I always do, which is I get on the plane and probably even just after we've taken off, I will set my watch to the new time zone. And I find that helps me adjust. Now, what am I doing? Although I don't feel like it's gone from 10 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the morning, I am mentally making an adjustment which says, although I don't feel like it, it is now 5 o'clock, not 10 o'clock. And that's what the Bible means when it says, count yourself dead to sin. It doesn't mean that sin doesn't tempt us, but what it does mean is that you've got to make a mental switch, just as I switch the time zones, which says, I recognize that I'm a different person now in Christ, and although I'm tempted, sin no longer has a hold over me, and in Christ I can overcome those sins. And I found that sins that I struggled with, as I spend more time with Christ and more time meditating on his scripture, I found those become less of an issue in my life. It's a struggle, but as you spend time with Christ and reckon yourself dead to Christ, these things fall away. Okay, so what next? Romans 8, 9. Turn again. What's the next key? You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, there's that comment again, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, okay? If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. So not only are we dead to sin, but we now have life through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who can come alongside us, dwells in us when we give our life to him. And then Romans 8:12 goes on to say more than that. He says, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. And what is that obligation? That obligation is to live life by the Spirit. And he goes on to say in Romans 8:37, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So that's a wonderful story. God's righteous, we are not, but that's not the end of the story. We are given righteousness through our faith in Christ. We're at peace with God. We're under his grace. We're dead to sin and alive in Christ, and I have life through the Holy Spirit. And that's the story that Paul has laid out when he says, now therefore. Does that make sense? So all this is, and now because of this, therefore, right? Therefore, change your thinking, right? And he goes on, if you go then to Romans 12, therefore what? Romans 12, 1, therefore offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. So that's what God wants us to do as a result of this. As a result of these things, our response and our right and proper response to God should be to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. Why? Well, let's look at what Paul goes on to say. Romans 12, 4. Why are we to do this? Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do cheerfully. So what is our rightful response when we understand that this is now our position with God? Our rightful response is a sacrificial life that does what? It serves the body. And Paul goes on then to say, how do we do that? And you'll note that the rest of chapter 12 talks about love and the importance of love. So what Paul is saying is our rightful response to being made righteous with Christ is to serve the body, to serve each other. And that God has given us gifts of prophecy, giving, encouraging, teaching, leadership, serving, and others, which is our rightful response to what God has done for us. So the fact that God has done all that, we are then to serve each other and to serve our community. And that's what we're about as a church, I believe. And that's what God is saying to us, is we're to serve each other as response to God's love and to what he's done for us. Okay? And then in Romans 12, 9 to 13, we've just read that. He then goes on to say, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, etc., etc. But he talks about doing everything in humility, to honour one another above ourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour, serving the Lord, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with people who are in need, and practice hospitality, is what he says in Romans 12, 9 to 13. Okay? So those are things we're supposed to do, all in love. So how do we do that well? We can all do that in our own strength, but actually that brings us to the second verse, which is from John 15, 4 to 5. And this is the other verse that's been on my mind. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. And if you want to bear fruit, in terms of that service and in serving each other and the community, that's the key. Some versions of the Bible talk about as abiding in God. And you know what? That is the key, is to everything you do, is to remaining close to God. And that's a lesson that I've learned fairly recently. Numbers have been going through. Some of you yourselves have been going through the 60-60 program. And the 60-60 thing was designed to help us spend more time during our busy days just abiding in God. And I can honestly say, I've said this as a personal story, that actually it has changed me in terms of I spend much more time during the day thinking about God and thinking about what he's doing and wants to do than I did a year ago. Now, that doesn't mean I spend hours on my knees. What it does mean is through the course of the day, I actually spend maybe 1 or 2 minutes at different points just praying to God or thinking about things, and it has changed my walk with God. And that's the reality of this about remaining in me. The more time we actually spend with God, the more fruit we'll bear. And if you want to bear fruit in the church and in the community, this is the key, right? And it makes a big difference. I know, because I've found out, even at my stage in my Christian life, that is the case, right? So, I'm off for the summer, not disappearing completely for all the summer, but we've all got summer breaks and things going on. I want to leave you with this thought as we finish and just ask you to think about this as we go. Over the summer, I hope you'll be coming on. Carol and Maria running services here upstairs. I think you're going to do it, aren't you, on a Sunday afternoon. And if you are around, it would be great for you to come along and share in praise and worship together and meet together. But when you're away on holiday or whatever else, just spend some time. How practically can you spend time or more time with God? And I know it sounds corny, but it really worked for a number of us, and you might want to do something similar. If you've got an alarm on your phone, an alarm on your watch, or just something that you use as a trigger to remind you during the day just to spend a bit of time with God and turn to him. We do things like, it wasn't all about just asking God for things, it's actually about being prepared to listen, the second key. We can all spend time with God and throw our prayers at him and our requests at him, but the key is being prepared to listen. And I actually did things like just, and we discovered it worked, just when something goes off to trigger you, do something like, Lord, what can I learn from you in the next hour or today? Lord, what is it you can give me today that I will learn from you? Give me something new from you today or during the next hour or while I'm doing X or Y. Listen and see what God has to say to you. Perhaps it is about these things. Perhaps it's about something else. But just devote time during the summer to listen to him. And then the question is, are you willing to respond and obey if he does speak to you? Okay, that's all I've got to say. What I am going to do is that bought some books here, which I know people smile when I say I go away on holiday and I read, but I find it so encouraging. I'm just going to give you 5 books, and look, I brought them here so you can borrow them. If you want to read one of these over the summer and you think you'd like to, come to see me afterwards and take it away. The first book is what I've just been talking about. It is about becoming holy and righteous in the eyes of God and how do we respond to that. A really good book on that. The next book is a really